everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are excited. We are doing our last weekend recap. This is crazy. We made it all the way from October until now. And this is going to be airing on Christmas Day. So Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope everyone's having an amazing day. I am film critic Rachel Wagner. I'm here to talk about four different films. And I have a very special guest today. I have Dory from All the Feels podcast. And Dory, how have you been this crazy holiday season?
Oh my gosh. I cannot believe we are crossing the finish line. I am so excited to talk about these movies. And I'm so excited that we survived the season. It was crazy.
Yeah. Last year I made a I Survived Countdown to Christmas t-shirt. And I think I need to do it again because this is last year was nothing. That was child's play to this year.
Last year was a piece of cake compared to this year. This year really tried us, but we survived.
We did. And you guys had your bracket. You'll be announcing the winner coming up, right? Correct?
That's right. We have an episode that will probably go up on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day that will announce our bracket winner. Thank you to everyone who voted.
Yeah.
And we're really excited.
So do you think that you will do Lifetime versus Hallmark next year? Do you feel like that was a good dynamic?
I do. I am really glad that we included Lifetime in the bracket this year because it just offers a very different type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very like watching our, it was usually like a Hallmark movie on Saturday and then a Lifetime movie on Sunday. It just was a very different experience, which was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I also am very interested to see specifically what Lifetime does next year, because this year for me felt like a lot of them trying to get back in the swing of like a full-on Christmas onslaught.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fascinated to see what they implement next year based on what they've learned this season. Like you could tell this season they were just trying a bunch of stuff and seeing what worked. So I'm interested to see where they go next year. But we only do Hallmark Channel versus Lifetime. That was our bracket this year. Next year, we are absolutely including Hallmark movies and mysteries.
Oh,
movies,
nice.
Which I think were, on the whole, stronger movies this season. So I'm really excited about that. I think that's going to really add to the bracket, too.
Yeah, I think that is true. Did you have any movie that was a particular surprise for you that you didn't, maybe not on the bracket, but just in general, that you really liked a lot more than you thought?
I had a couple. I think that the first one that was most surprising was Cherished Memories, A Gift to Remember Too, which we were very skeptical because it was a sequel. We loved the first one, but sequels have sometimes been a little bit dicey. I think we can agree.
Yeah.
So we were kind of concerned, like, are they going to be able to match that same level that the first movie presented? And boy, was I shocked. I think I liked it better than the first one. I think it, like, really went all the way to the end in our bracket, which we were not expecting at all. I loved it. I laughed. I cried. It gave me all the feels. We were not ready for that. And it was such a delightful, delightful surprise. And also, that was like a textbook blueprint for how you do a sequel. I think that is how you do it. If you want to know how you do it, Hallmark, that is how you do it. That was perfect.
Yeah, I like to think that I helped encourage Topher along the path to writing that good movie because we had him on in May and he was writing the movie. He was like, it wasn't officially announced. He was like, I'm just writing it for fun. And so I told him, I said, so here's the deal on sequels. It's like, we don't want to see them break up, or we just want to see their love mature and get better. And that does not have to be a conflict that all of a sudden things get super real and super like grim. which is, I mean, all of my heart. That was what they decided to do.
Oh my God. I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more.
And he was like, I promise. I promise. And I'm like, okay. But yeah, I agree. That was one of my favorites for sure. I really liked Candace Cameron Bure's movie this year, Christmas Town. I thought that movie had so much heart and, like, yeah, it's not an accurate depiction of adoption. I get that. But I don't know. I still really liked it. I liked her. I liked him. And I thought it did the whole community feel really, really well. And I thought it was really charming. And
it really pulled on the old heartstrings there. Yeah, CCB had I thought that was some of her best acting I've ever seen.
Yeah, whenever she would read one of those letters from her dad, I was, it really worked for me. I really liked that. One of the ones that I didn't have a ton of hope for that we're going to talk about today, I ended up really liking. So I liked the Mistletoe Secret way more than I expected because, Kelly Pickler's not the greatest actress in the world, but I thought that her sort of innocence with being this, you know, sort of small town waitress and kind of worked a lot better than when she's supposed to be sort of a rock star or a singer, or even though she is a singer, but you know what I mean? Like, her bad acting kind of helped the part a little bit.
Yeah. And I just, what you mean. Yeah.
And I just thought that Tyler Hines was great. And I thought the script was pretty witty and pretty funny the way. And the whole idea of like this, I like Christopher Russell best when he's playing a jerk. And he's kind of arrogant and him playing this guy, this travel show or whatever. I liked it. I thought it was good, but,
he does it so well. He does it so well. And I agree with you. I liked that one. Kelly Pickler, like you said, maybe not the best actress, but darn it if she is not charming as can be. Yeah. And it really carries her far. Because just the way she speaks and the way, like, she delivers some lines and some moments, like, will always make me giggle. Like, she's cute and she's very charming.
Yeah. If you want to watch one that is kind of in the so bad it's good and I'm laughing hilarious, you should watch on ION Channel, A Beauty and the Beast Christmas. This is the most ridiculous movie I think I've ever seen in my life. Complete with the giant food fight that's like...
It
goes on for like many minutes, and there's a dramatic ending where the hero jumps off of a two-story building with no harm and storms the wedding, and it really was so bad it's good kind of territory. Like, I was dying laughing at it, and you should watch it. I think you'd appreciate it.
Okay, you had me at the title.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to hear anymore. The title alone is ridiculous and sold me.
There's a moment where which is like, because they're both pretending to be YouTubers that are pretending to get married or whatever, they're YouTubers, and she's like, fine, unsubscribe, unfollow me. It was so funny. And Donna Mills from like soap operas and stuff, she plays her mom, and she's like, I'm permanently going to be scarred like this. This is a disaster. And because she's the Beast, supposedly, in the story. And I was like, don't worry, looks are overrated. Imagine saying that to your daughter.
Oh my gosh, you can't say that to your kid. Yeah.
It was the best, so you need to watch it.
Okay, I'm in. Oh my gosh, this sounds hilarious. I can't handle it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So let's talk about these four movies. So we started out with Double Holiday, and this is one of their sort of touted Hanukkah movies that they were pretty proud of, particularly this movie. I think Hallmark was very proud of it. And I think with good cause. I think this ended up being really charming. It was written by Nina Wyman, who's a great friend of the podcast. She's been on our show four times. She was our first interview that we ever had.
And amazing writer. She's so great.
Yeah, she's a great writer. And it stars Christopher Ploha, Carly Pope. Of course, Ploha is kind of, he's in the running with Kevin McGarry as the king of Hallmark right now.
He really is. And I'm really excited about it because he's so freaking funny. We'll get into it.
Yeah, he is. So the summary for this one is Rebecca endures working with her colleague and rival Chris to plan the office Christmas party in the hopes of getting a promotion. While spending so much time together, will they take their eyes off the prize and see each other anew? So I picked this as one of my three most anticipated Hallmark movies in my article I did for the Deseret News here in Utah. And I just was so confident that Nina would do a good job with this. She is Jewish, and obviously that can't hurt. And yeah. I just felt like it had a ton of potential, and I was very satisfied with this movie. I mean, the only thing that gave me a little bit of nervousness was, oh, it's going to be a party planning movie, and sometimes it can be a little boring. And so that was my only nervousness, but I ended up really enjoying it. Even those aspects worked for me. I don't know. What was your overall take on this movie?
Rachel, I loved this.
Yes.
I loved it. I was apprehensive about this one. I was like, I don't know. Like, I just don't know if I don't know if they're going to handle this appropriately. And boy, was I wrong, and never happier to be wrong about something. I love this from start to finish. I love Carly Pope. I want her in more. Like, mm-hmm. She's so good. Mm-hmm. And their chemistry was amazing. I loved her family. It was so good. I loved every second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the thing about this party planning aspect of the movie is it really was just a framework to tell the story of both of them and the story of their families. And because like tropes and these types of kind of classic story beats are fine. It's just when they don't, like it's a different thing to say that a story has a repetitive plot versus saying it's using tropes. That's not the same thing. Tropes are just parts of genres that the fans like and that are classics parts of a genre. Tropes aren't inherently bad. It's what you then do with them to tell the story. And I felt like this was a really great example of that. Because it's really just about, it's basically a classic sort of enemies to lovers storytelling. So they start out kind of hating each other. There are these cubicle mates, and Christopher Ploha was just so charming in this movie. He was you kind of wondered for like, what's her problem? Like, how could she not like this guy? He's so great.
From the second the first shot of him where he hears her coming and puts his feet on her desk just to annoy her, that is so freaking adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so cute. And I thought that they did a really good job of developing her character, because most of us have been there with the cubicle life and the cubicle things. And I mean, I loved the whole concept of fancy suit guy, because what woman can't relate to that? I'm sorry. That's like a thing.
I know. Trying to build up that courage to talk to him, being so nervous. It was great.
Yeah, it was really good. Do you feel like Christopher Plow's character was always kind of into her, or do you feel like it developed?
Oh, for sure. I think he was always into her. Mm-hmm. I think he always liked her, but I think that she was very much driven and always about the job, and he could never really figure her out, which I think is why the second he met her family, he was like, oh no, I'm staying for Hanukkah. I'm hearing every story about you. Like, you, there's no way you're getting rid of me now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. And they both are trying to get this raise. I also loved their boss. Like, it's the classic person who's like terrified of children. Like, she was just like, I don't know what to do with these kids.
Laugh so hard. She was like a deer in the headlights every time I was a child.
Yeah, it was really funny, and I feel like reasonably authentic too. I could imagine that character being like that, and I liked the actress. She did a good job with it. It's just like,
she was so funny.
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
Because I can relate to that sometimes. Like, you go into a room with just a whole bunch of kids, and you're just like, "Oh my gosh, I'm in over my head here." I don't know what
you're
to
like,
do.
What do they like to do? What do they eat? Yeah. What do I do with them? Yeah, it was so great.
When I was put in charge at church of teaching the 9-year-olds. That was a terrifying moment. I was just like, I don't know what to do with like 10 9-year-olds. Are you crazy?
I know. They are powerful. My niece is about to be 11 years old, and her birthday is actually Christmas Eve. And whenever I'm with her, I'm like, you are way cooler than me. You know more than me. What am I even doing here? Like, what value do I bring? I'm so terrified of people.
Yeah. I don't know how to handle it. I mean, get back to the adults as quickly as possible is definitely my, my philosophy. That was really good. And I liked everything with him and the community center. I thought that was all very touching and sweet. And little Kirby, it was so cute.
Oh, I loved Kirby. He was adorable.
So good. The only thing that made me so laugh at the community center thing is that they had the hot chocolate on the ice skating rink, and I'm thinking, I wouldn't do that. Like, no. I mean, you have to be a pretty confident ice skater to ice skate without cocoa.
I used to figure skate when I was a kid until around, I don't know, 14 years old. Uh-huh. There is no food or drinks on the ice. That is dangerous. That is risky. It's not allowed. Ill-advised. No one at home do that. It's so dangerous.
You're going to get hot chocolate all over you, and you're going to get burned, and it's going to be a bad situation. I think a lawsuit is coming to the community center.
Even if you are a professional, no, there is no food and drink on the ice. Can't happen. Especially with little ones, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That part did give me a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah, it did. And, but I did like when he's talking to the manager or whatever of the other investor guy, and I just liked how he's like, well, if you really want to know my opinion, you should get rid of the tennis courts, and you should do this, and you should put in a pickleball court, and you should whatever, like, kind of things. And the guy's kind of like, whoa.
His face, he's like, okay, anything else?
Yeah, right.
Okay. And anything else? Is that the last of it? Or are we good?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it was great. And as far as the Hanukkah stuff, I mean, I trust Nina that it was all, you know, accurate, but we are going to have a guest by the her Twitter name is Stacy Applesauce, which is actually an author named Stacy Agdern, and she actually contacted me. She's Jewish and she wanted to talk about all three films, that one from Lifetime, two from Hallmark. We're going to talk about them, where, because I can't comment how other people's religion are portrayed, I don't know, or culture is portrayed. So that's going to be really good. I'm really looking forward to talking with her. I'm going to interview her later today. And then I'm not sure when I'm going to air it, but probably on Thursday or Friday. And so that's something to look forward to. But from my perspective, it seemed very reverent. It seemed very, I really liked the family. I really liked that I didn't feel like it was sort of assumed that neither character knew nothing about the other. That was the thing in the Lifetime movie that was just very ridiculous, is that the idea that like he'd never heard of a Christmas tree, and like, I mean, just some of this stuff you're thinking, everybody knows. Like, it's just so conscious in our, it just permeates our culture so much that and I feel like most normal people know what a menorah is, even if you don't. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I have several Jewish friends who have a Christmas tree every year. Yeah. Like, people get it. We all get it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I really thought, yeah, her family was just so wonderful and sweet, and I liked that there really wasn't any like really bothering her about the fact that she's single, except for maybe her sister being like, ooh, what's this? But I liked she was cute. I liked her sister. Yeah.
I liked her sister too. And yeah. I liked that. I loved how much her family, I loved how close they are. Mm-hmm. I loved all of their traditions. I thought that that was really fun. It wasn't, and there wasn't any like, oh, eye roll, I don't want to do this with my family. Like, they all just really loved each other and loved being together. And that was really, I loved that. I thought it was so sweet.
Well, yeah. And it was a really good moment for the character, because when they're having her and Chris are having this discussion, and it's obvious that she sort of put her sister on this sort of pedestal. And he has to say, I love your sister. Your sister's a great person, but she is not perfect. And that's so easy to do, I feel like, in families. Especially when, I don't know, I feel like when people are living like such different lives, I feel like that can sort of be easy to kind of think, well, that person is the perfect mother or the perfect person, and you can kind of envy their life, and that's, nobody's perfect, everybody has flaws. And the thing is that it's so easy to compare your worst with their best, and just feel, and then the ironic thing is the other person is doing the same thing, and somebody could be comparing sort of, I guess, my podcast or the fact I'm on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that, and be like, oh, she's so much better than me. But then it could be comparing maybe the number of views they get, or the number of, the number of followers they have, or, you know what I mean? Something like that. We're comparing when we all have special things about us, and we're all trying our best to make things work. So, you know, it's like the old saying that comparison is the thief of joy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was also a really great moment of him having her back.
Yeah.
Like him standing up for her and defending her, even when she didn't want to do that for herself. And I love to see that in a partnership and in a relationship. And he was doing it even before they got together. And I thought that was a really powerful moment.
Well, and also having the strength in your relationship is, I think, tested by the fact is, are you comfortable enough to tell the other person they're being stupid?
Yep, absolutely.
And that was kind of another example of that. And I really liked the fact that that their careers were both respected. I really liked the ending that neither had to sacrifice anything. And maybe some people say that's unrealistic, but this is the kind of genre that we're in. And so I really liked that. There wasn't a sense that, okay, she's got to move somewhere or she's got to sacrifice something. It was cute. I liked that. And it was just, I just really enjoyed it. And so I give this one 4.5 out of 5 crowns. And it zoomed up high in my ratings for Hallmark. So for this Christmas season.
I loved it. I agree with everything you said. I thought it was such a fun, just heartwarming story. The casting was great. The writing was great. I loved it. So I would give it 4.75 crowns.
Right now I have it at 5 in my Hallmark Christmas rankings next to...
Check Into
Christmas. I have just under that right now. But we'll see how it comes out in the final tally. But I really enjoyed it. So, and Fancy Suit Guy was so cute too. I think we could use his Christmas movie now.
I know. Bring him back. Help him find love.
Yeah.
And help him see that there's more than just career stuff.
Yeah. So then also on Saturday was Christmas on My Mind. And this starred Ashley Green, Andrew Walker, Jack Kay, Harry, Debs Howard, Donna Benedicto, who, if you haven't listened to our interview with her, one of my top 10 of all time. She was absolutely hilarious. And particularly, we spent about 30 minutes talking about craft services and catering on set, and we were dying laughing. You got to check it out.
I listened
oh, you did?
One,
oh, good.
And I was... delighted.
Yeah, isn't she the best? But we've actually interviewed tons in this cast. We've interviewed Preston Vanderslide, Donna Benedicto, Debs Howard, and Andrew Walker. So we got I just loved that interview. She was so funny, and I have a whole new respect for actors and their dieting. I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, this was written by Kirsten Hansen, who, if you follow the podcast, you know she is not my favorite writer, and I'm sure she's a lovely person, just her writing isn't for me usually. And this is based on a novel by Denise Hunter, and the summary is: when Lucy wakes up with a wedding dress in hand, she believes that she is late to her wedding with her ex-boyfriend Zach. However, she has no recollection of the past 2 years, including the fact that she is engaged to another man. So this movie, well, meanwhile here, so what was your overall feelings of this movie?
This movie started out absolutely bonkers, insane. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked to then find that I was bored through most of it. I don't understand how that happened, because the first 10 minutes are crazy. Like, so much happens that I was just staring at the screen, like, with my mouth open. Within 30 seconds, craziness had already ensued. And so then I found myself about 40, 45 minutes in, I'm looking at my phone. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the clock. I can't believe that they packed so much into the first 10 minutes for me to then be pretty bored throughout the rest of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was fine, but I was not engaged at all towards the end.
So this is a classic example of using a formula or a trope type of story and doing it badly, because this amnesia plotline is classic. We've seen that many times, like the Christmas to Remember, the one with Cameron Matheson and Mira Sorvino. That's a good one with an amnesia
plot.
Love
that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that one.
There's a bunch of them. And this the amnesia plot was completely unnecessary. Like, you could cut it out completely and the plot would be exactly the same, because it's basically girl is engaged to a bad man of business, and she meets the small town guy or the local guy that she has a connection with, her high school sweetheart, basically her somebody that she's been in love with, and she ends up dumping the bad man of business and being with the small town guy. That's all this story was. The amnesia stuff completely fell flat for me. It wasn't funny. There was absolutely nothing in anybody's reaction made any sense to me. Like, if somebody
there were no reactions.
Yeah, like if somebody came up to me and said that, oh, we're getting married, and was 2 years and was an ex that had dumped me, I would be like, should I call the 911? Because you're clearly disturbed. I would have some kind of reaction. Like, that would be shocking to me. And if my friend all of a sudden couldn't remember anything, then I would be upset by that. If my fiance, who I was about to get married to in like 2 weeks, all of a sudden didn't remember who I was and was spending all this time with her ex-boyfriend, I would be upset by that. That would be upsetting. And for, like, his responses made no sense. The fiance, it was just
none.
Like, I'm just busy with work. And I'm like, that's doesn't make sense on any level. If you are marrying her for her position or her money or whatever, you'd still be upset that this person has forgotten completely about you, and you're going to get married to them. If you love her at all, which evidently they'd had enough of a relationship that had built and developed that she had accepted his proposal and planned a wedding. And
I know.
And so, like, nobody had an appropriate reaction at all. Like, even she, like, if I woke up and I couldn't remember things, I would probably be freaking out. Like, I needed one freak out scene from someone. And everybody's just, even Jack Case, like, she wasn't even funny about it. Like, I was expecting her to at least be funny, but instead she's just kind of this psychiatrist who's like, okay, here's the way that you need to think about this situation. Have you analyzed your life? The only one that was even close, I thought, was Debs Howard as Andrew Walker's girlfriend. Like, she was the only one that had a little bit of a kind of a what's happening here kind of response. And I think, by the way, that she would be a great leading lady for Hallmark. She's so cute. She's so bubbly. I think that she would fit right into this, to this world. But even she wasn't allowed to do very much. But there was just, it made no sense to me. Like, none of these people were acting like humans that had this crazy thing happen to one of their friends. Like, that's not normal. And they're just, like, going to Christmas fairs and skating, and it was very disappointing. I think it had some chance to be really fun, but it was such a great cast who can all deliver, and they can all deliver the funny. I've seen it. Every single one of these actors, they've been funny, and it was just nothing.
I mean, right off the bat, how she she falls and busts her head and doesn't remember things from 2 years ago. She's not trying to, like, get her bearings, figure out where she is, like, maybe call 911, like you said, go to the hospital. She's like, oh, take me, whatever, 3 hours away to my hometown. I'm gonna show up, walk in with a wedding dress. Like, it was just, it all happened so fast.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you not in the hospital? Why are you not, like, looking at your phone to see the last person you spoke to? Something.
Yeah.
I was completely, I was so disoriented.
Yeah.
Like, I had hit my head when that started. I did not understand what was going on. And then, you're right, the amnesia part was so unnecessary. Jack A was so underused. I wanted more of her. Like, you're right. There were no hijinks. It was just kind of blah, which bummed me out, to be honest.
Yeah.
I really love Andrew Walker. Like, he is one of my favorites. And I thought he was good in this. He was fine. He was really cute and great. But yeah, there just wasn't much to this.
Yeah, I mean, he came, he showed up, he did his job. All the this really wasn't the fault of, I don't think, any of the actors. It's the writing, and I'm sorry, but this writer just doesn't develop conflict, I don't think, very well. Whether it's Chesapeake Shores, which I know you like, I'm not a fan of, and I really struggle with it. And the way that, I don't know, I just, it's just not my favorite writer. And I think that that's what this came down to. It is not the fault of the actors. And
no.
Everything else about it was fine as far as the execution, the production, all that. It was just the writing. It didn't do it for me. So, yeah, this is one of my least favorite of the whole year, for sure.
Me too. Me too. It was, I at least thought it was going to be bananas. From the way it started, I was like, okay, at least this is going to be crazy. Like, this girl has amnesia within 30 seconds. Like, let's go. It's going to be wild. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
I'm like falling asleep. It was rough for me. This was a rough one for me.
So yeah, I'd give it I'm pretty low on it. Just for the cast, I'll give it 2 crowns, but that's probably generous.
Yeah, I'm at I think I'd give it 2 crowns also.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's purely, like you said, purely on the strength of the cast, which I enjoy. I like all of those people. So yeah, 2 crowns.
And one of the reviews on IMDb, I guess, is a super big fan of this novelist, this Denise Hunter. And she was saying how the book is just like funny and like crazy and so much better. And I'm like, now I want to read that book because I bet it's way better.
I know, me too. Me too. It has the potential. It could have been really fun and funny.
Yeah, it could have, for sure. So, all right. Then we have, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. So this is the Hallmark Channel on Sunday, and the stars, Trisha Helfer, Eric Mabius, Peter Benson, and I'll say the summary. So when a New England Christmas decorating competition searches for the town with the most Christmas spirit, the mayors of East and West Riverton go all out to get their towns to the top of the holiday heap. So that summary totally undersells the greatness of this movie. This movie, from the very beginning, opening montage of like the battle between East and West Riverton, I was a little bit tiny bit nervous about this movie because I didn't really like Eric Mabius in his movie last year. It wasn't really his fault. I just felt like he was miscast for playing this kind of curmudgeonly sheriff. And and that whole movie last year was so, talk about a gaslighting movie where this character is just like, the whole town is pretending to be this Christmas town. So she picks them to have this ski lodge. And it was just, it was so weird. And I just didn't like the movie. And so I was a little nervous about this one, but oh my gosh, I loved this movie so much. This was so great. The whole conceit of East and West Riverton and the literally like the line through the cafe and through the park, and people are on their side and not going, and even different decorations, like that whole of every conceit about East and West Riverton was the best. And I think writer Rick Garman, he did such a good job with this movie. It was so much better than it had any right to be, in my opinion. And I thought it was hilarious. Did you like it?
I was delighted from start to finish. I, just like you, this one actually was completely off my radar. And to be completely honest, had I not been joining you today, this is probably one I would have like saved to just watch whenever, like after Christmas, when I'm like still kind of watching Christmas movies and seeing what I missed. Like, this wasn't on the top of any of my lists. When I tell you, I was cracking up because everything worked.
Yeah.
Like, like you said, from the beginning montage where they have the new newspaper headlines where the town split, I was already sold. Then the coffee shop and how each mayor would only stand on their side or even sit on their side when they met in a neutral location, quote unquote. I was like screaming with laughter. And it was also, it looked beautiful. Like, I loved the details. I loved that in West Riverton and whatever, which was, I think, red. I could be wrong. But they only had, like, red Christmas tree ornaments. They only have, like, red garland and everything. And the East had blue. And I just loved that visual. Yeah. It just worked so well.
I think the East Riverton got the shaft with the blue and silver. I mean, I actually have a blue and silver themed Christmas tree, but I think the West Riverton getting the classic Christmas colors.
So good.
Better side of the bargain. Yeah, it was really good, and I definitely think this is the best that Trisha Helfer has been in one of these movies, because she's she originally was a model. And she's gorgeous, of course, and then I was on Battlestar Galactica and everything, but I just felt like hasn't been one of her movies that has really sold me on the genre for her. And but this one, I'm like, okay, I love her. She was amazing. She's really good.
And she was so funny. When they were spying on each other, the best. Like, just the best. I couldn't handle it. We were bird watching.
Yeah, that was so good. I absolutely loved both of their assistants. They were the best, and I would love to get a future movie about the two of them, because they were so funny. And when the way that especially the girl assistant would look at her, maybe it's like, what is going on here? That's the best. It was so funny. She was so good. And and then I also really liked the whole dynamic. Was very unique for a Hallmark movie of her being divorced and not being a widow. But not only that, but like Peter Benson is right there. He's involved in the plot as her ex. And I thought it was refreshing. It was funny. It was good. And I think Peter Benson is up for the comedy. He's a funny, he can do the funny roles too. So
yes.
He was really good.
We love a healthy co-parenting storyline. It was really nice to see.
Yeah.
They, met in town. They, the kid changed hands, changed parents. They were, supportive of each other, pleasant, really liked each other still. You can tell that even when they talked about their relationship ending, it was just like, we were just too different, grew apart. He's, getting engaged to someone. Like, that was so nice. Like, it just wasn't a big deal. It kind of was what we were, it was what it was. I love that they all grew up together, so there was no real, they didn't have to do a lot of exposition about the dynamic. It was just kind of like, we all grew up together. Like, your mom married, this guy. I was there. We were all friends. We all went off to college. Like, it was handled really well, and I loved that.
Yeah, I did too. And I liked that that somebody pointed out with the with Eric Mabius and Trish Helfer's characters, because they've been so competitive, you think that they're completely different. But I think it was the cafe owner who was like, no, you're exactly the same. So I actually think it was Peter Benson. He was saying, we were really different. You two are the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was really good. It was really true. So this competition was a little confusing to me, though. So
Me too.
Is there multiple towns involved in the competition, or is it just between East and West Riverton? Because at one point they're like, what if you worked together? And then I was like, I didn't realize there were multiple other places involved.
I only knew that there were other towns because when they went to that I don't know, the ceremony, I guess, where they decide who's going to be in the competition. They name several towns.
Okay.
And they all, like, walk across the stage, and they're like, and he says, welcome to the competition. And so there were a few other towns. But even still, the, like, working together angle, it's like, can you do that? Like, can you just
with the rules
work together when there are five other towns competing? Like, because then they'd all team up.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was a little iffy, but I didn't even care because I was having too much fun. And this movie was my sweet spot, because what I have been wanting forever is, like, a political rivals movie, because you don't even have to get into the politics of it. Like, you don't have to mention a political party. You don't have to do anything. You introduce something like this.
Yeah.
Like the mayors of two neighboring towns. I have been wanting that storyline forever. And I finally got it. So I was like vibrating with joy. I was so happy because I have been wanting this. I've been saying forever, like, you can have a political rivals movie without making it about politics, especially in a lot of these small town movies when it's like, you know, Save the Mill and all of this stuff. Like, that's not inherently political, you know?
Right, yeah.
So I was so pleased with this.
Yeah. It just was, they even if the competition was a little vague, they just thought of sort of every element of Christmas, every Christmas trope or Christmas thing that's in these movies. They had the West Riverton side and the East Riverton side. You've got, like, the cookies on one, the reindeer cookies on the one side, and you have the other cookies on the other side.
The snowman cookies on the other side.
Yeah, just everything had its back and forth, and it was, oh, just really funny. I liked his parents when they were getting all into the competition, and it's like, oh, we got to decorate the residence. We got to win that one. And he's like, we don't have a residence. It's just my house. And I was joking on Twitter. I said, now I will forever be suspicious of any province or state or locality with a cardinal direction in their name. You know, that has started
totally.
The Christmas rivalry. I believe it now. I was like, I know now, North and South Dakota. That's that's what caused the split.
It was so good. It was so fun. It just made me smile when they get locked in the room together and they're just, like, randomly decorating a tree because they're completely Christmas crazy. Like, I love it.
I do love it when these movies play into the into, like, people are insane with Christmas, like concerning. Like, if it was in the real life, I'd be like, and, like, their personalities, like, they can't just, it's not enough just to be surrounded by Christmas. I love it when, like, I actually enjoyed A Cheerful Christmas. A lot of people hated it, but I liked how completely insane she was about Christmas, like, crazy. It was funny to me.
Me too. That movie was a sleeper hit for me. I was just delighted by her, and I loved it.
Me too.
Like, and it's almost like they're just unapologetic in their complete Christmas fever, and that's funny to me.
One of my, I think, most underrated Hallmark Christmas movies is The Christmas List with Alicia Witt, and she is
that's a good,
like,
one.
Crazy for Christmas. She's like flinging around snow in this fake snow globe. I love it. I think that one is so good. Peter Benson is in that one as well. But anyway, this one was fantastic. It surprisingly jumped all the way up to number six in my Hallmark Christmas rankings. I give it 4.25 crowns. I really liked it. What would you give
it? I loved it too. So great. I would give it the same as I gave to Double Holiday.
Yeah.
I would do 4.75. I loved it. This is the movie I've been waiting for. Thank you, Hallmark. More,
yes.
Please.
Yes. Rick Garman did a great job on that script, sir. Come on the podcast. We'd love to talk to you. Okay. Last one for this weekend was A Family Christmas, and this stars Holly Robinson Pete and Patti LaBelle and Dion Johnstone, instructed by Kevin Fair, who's a he's done a lot of good stuff, including Signs Delivered for Hallmark, and he did a bunch of the Garage Sale Mysteries and things like that. But anyway, it's when Amber spends the holidays with her Aunt Dora and helps plan a fundraising Christmas concert. It brings Amber closer to her aunt and a new love into her life. So you right now don't currently live near your hometown or your family, right? You didn't grow up in LA. Can you imagine if you went to your hometown and they were like, oh, you're here. Hey, plan the children's Christmas fundraiser while you're at it.
Absolutely not. I go home to sleep. Yeah. That's what I do. I go home to sleep and eat and maybe shop. That's it. I'm not planning anything. I'm not even planning like my life. I'm like, whatever you want to do, Mom. Come on.
Yeah. I know, me too. And I think it's so funny that happens all the time in these Christmas movies that people go home and they're like, oh, perfect. We need somebody to plan the Christmas festival. And it's one thing if like the character kind of initiates it because she's like, I'm outraged it got canceled. How could it get canceled? Right. So then they're going to plan it. Then that makes sense, I guess. But when it's just sort of thrust upon people, I'm always laughing. But I thought this movie was very basic, but it was perfectly fine. Like there was, the plot was nothing we haven't seen a million times. But the people were all nice. I enjoyed being with them. And it had, you know, good music, and I thought it was fine.
I agree. Like I enjoyed this one. I kind of just let it wash over me. It was just like a nice watch for a Sunday night. My favorite part of the movie actually, which surprised me because I didn't know much going into it, was I loved Holly Robinson Pete interviewing her Aunt Dora. Yeah. And I loved those little moments of her asking questions about her career and her life. And I was surprisingly, I really loved those moments between them, like even more so than the love story. I kind of liked their relationship and hearing about, you know, the ebbs and flows of that. And I really liked that part of it.
Yeah, me too.
Because it almost felt like she was also interviewing Patti LaBelle for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they're both her character in the movie and the woman herself, obviously, is like a legend.
Yeah.
So it was nice to kind of hear that wisdom coming from her. And I could have used more than that. But yeah, like you said, this was a nice movie. It was a nice watch. And I'm always happy to see Holly Robinson Pete in a Hallmark movie. I'm happy every time I see her. I love her. So yeah, it was cute.
A completely superfluous thing, but I do like her better with curly hair than straight hair. But that's just because I have curly hair probably myself. But I enjoy her. I thought that it was nice seeing that her decision to move back to the small town felt relatively authentic at the end, because she is, through interviewing her aunt, she kind of begins to realize what she's been missing, and she doesn't want the editor's job because she remembers how much she enjoys interviewing people and writing and her things like that. Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. And I thought the relationship was fine, but I did like their date. I like it when Hallmark actually shows like a date and it's not just sort of
forgotten. Me too. And they had a great date. That was good.
It was a really good date. And I thought they had an early kiss that was before the last 30 minutes, which is nice. I thought that the singing was, I mean, you expect it with Patti LaBelle, of course, but I'm very picky on my Oh Holy Nights. most of the time it's done very terrible. And this was a very unusual version of O Holy Night. I think they probably had to put it into a lower key in order for her to sing it. Cause you know, you lose some of that as you get older, those high notes. And it was just, it felt like it was in a minor key. It just felt a little different, which I liked. I thought that was nice. I thought she, you know, she nailed it. She's pat on the bell. She was great singing. And so I liked that. And there's just the problem is most people sing Patti. The problem is most people sing O Holy Night who are not vocally equipped to sing that very difficult song.
And right.
She's singing Jingle Bells and that would be perfectly fine.
Right. Right.
But that all worked for me quite well. I thought the school was very unusual. Like this was a very, like the way everything was like wood lined and like, I was like, what is this school? Is this very, is this a private school? Like it just looked really different. I mean, everybody trying to get funding for the music program and you have your, you know, your music teacher and there really wasn't a whole lot to this one, but it was cute enough, I think. So
I love the little girl. I love his daughter.
Yeah, she cute.
Was a delight. Loved her. She's great. She's been in a few of these and she's always really cute.
And I was glad that Patti LaBelle actually got a part in this because that annoyed me last year about Christmas Everlasting, the Hall of Fame one, is that she's like right there on the poster. She's advertised heavily and literally her role was opening a door and saying, welcome to my home. That was it.
All she did was run the like cookie exchange or whatever. Yeah. And that's it. Like you just see her open the door in her apron and it's like, that's all we're getting. Yeah. What?
It's just like, what is happening? It very much annoyed me. I don't like when they do that. So I was glad it was redemption for Patti LaBelle. So this one I would give 2.5 crowns for.
I would give it the same. Yeah. 2.5.
So, all right. Well, we did it. We reviewed these movies. And so, we have on Twitter, I asked people to pick their favorite of the weekend. And Double Holiday, resounding favorite, 56.9%. With It's Beginning to Look Like Christmas at 22%. And some of the votes... we have Connie Gibson with It's Beginning to Look Like Christmas. The script by Rick Garman was wonderful. The performances by the cast, Eric Mabius, Tricia Helfer, were outstanding. The storyline was new and different, and the movie was so fun and a joy to watch. Gigi Elias says, I absolutely loved Double Holiday. It was charming and funny movie. It had me laughing. Tons of chemistry. It was great between Chris Pilloa and Carly Pope. Susan S. says, Double Holiday was very cute. Christopher's character was beyond belief with his rapier wit. It's also the only one of the four that I've seen so far. <That's a little unfair. laughs> But Lauren Eagle says, Double Holiday was amazing and my number one of the year. Paloha was at his most charming and Carly Pope was great. 100% lived up to my expectations. Phoebe Henneran says, maybe because of Eric Mabius, just maybe, I'm a huge fan, just maybe I pick It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. And then Katie Ayer says, I'm all for Double Holiday. The reason why, because it celebrates both holidays, Christmas and Hanukkah together, and it shows how they can all learn from one another's holidays. So there we go. That's it. So let us know what you thought of these movies, these four. What was your favorite? And let us know in the comment section or on Twitter. We'd love to hear. And thanks so much, Dory. This was really fun. I love having you on the podcast. We'll definitely, especially now that you're going to be watching every weekend, we'll definitely have you on again soon. And
I love coming on. So thank you guys.
Yeah, this is really fun. So how can people follow your podcast and you on social media, all that fun stuff?
So you can follow us at All the Feels Pod on Twitter and Facebook. I am pretty active on Twitter, so come say hi. And listen to us at All the Feels Podcast, wherever you download your podcast.
Yeah, definitely check it out, you guys. You'll love it. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. You can read my shocking, that one of very few critics that liked Cats. So check out my review. and my Star Wars review. Lots of fun stuff over there. I would love you to watch that. And then make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod, the Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, everywhere. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really, really love getting those reviews. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We also have our patron group, which is really fun. We have giveaways. We just did a giveaway for one of my favorite movies of the year with Blinded by the Light. So if you want to participate in that, plus all the other fun stuff, just sign up to be a patron. We have the information in the description. Then we also have our merch store, which has designs from artist Jessica Miller and more Hardys and Hallmarkies inspired designs. So check it out. Link in the description. And thanks again. And Merry Christmas, you guys. It's Christmas Day. It's so exciting.
Merry Christmas.